So getting lost in all this, you've got a couple of games tonight. You've got the rescheduled Bills-Chiefs game. You've got Dallas-Arizona. Bills and Chiefs, 2 p.m. and 5 p.m. 2 p.m. Pacific. Man, that's weird. I mean, everything's weird. But given how routine-oriented these guys are, I wonder what that's like. I mean, the new norm is that nothing's normal. But 2 p.m., like, I'm going to get off the air and do what I got to do, and then, bam, there's a game. In fact, a doubleheader. Dallas and Arizona, Buffalo and Kansas City. This program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I mean, it's one thing for me to start a Monday by talking baseball, which is unusual in and of itself, but entirely another for me not to get to my NFL recap. Like, I don't want to be so formulaic, but you know that on a Monday, you're going to get my NFL recap. And if there are other games that are bigger than being a part of the recap, like Green Bay, Tampa Bay, I would set that aside and give it its own thought, give it its own take. But no matter what, you get my NFL recap, and you usually get that right off the very top. And if something really unusual were to happen, then maybe you don't get it off the top, but you get it in hour number one. I'm to the top of hour number three, and I still have not recapped the entire weekend the way I normally do, which is really unusual. But in part, in large part, because of the Dodgers' amazing comeback, come-from-behind win over Atlanta in the NLCS. Hence me, the homer, talking about them. Hey, remember that time when the Lakers won a world championship with LeBron, and I talked about them? Remember that? Does that make me a homer?
Homer.
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 All right, so there were a bunch of teams and moments and plays to hit on in my Monday recap, even if I'm late with that recap. But here is the biggest note from the weekend, and I just touched on this with his teammate Ryan Tannehill. My biggest takeaway from the weekend, Derrick Henry is a very, very bad man. A very bad man. If you didn't know, he reminded everybody of that fact when he memed Josh Norman last week.
He gives it to Henry. Henry trying to get to the outside. Backside.
Come in against Derrick Henry. You better go low. Do not stand up with that man and let him just throw you out of the club.
I mean, like a little kid. Not a good NFL player in Norman, but like a little kid. Like, get off me. That's a reminder of how big this guy is, how strong this guy is. And then yesterday against the Texans, he showed the other part of his game, the part that makes him truly, truly unfair.
Give it to Henry. Looking for some room. Finds it. 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 45, 40,
wow!
35, 30, 25,
yes!
20, 15, 10, 5, end zone. Ladies and gentlemen, 94 yards. Touchdown, Titans!
I mean, that's just not right. In fact, that's all wrong. Derrick Henry lists it's 6'3", 247. A 250-pound man should not be that fast. A 250-pound man should not be able to, or even allowed to, run away from DBs like that. That is the very definition of a cheat code. The way the world is supposed to work is you can be a big running back, or you can be a fast running back, but you can't be both. You can't be able to flick 200-pound DBs off you like a bug, but also be able to run away from them like Chris Johnson. It's all jacked up. It's not fair. Even when I said that to Ryan Tannehill, he kind of chuckled, like, it's not fair. But it's awesome. So, of course, when the Titans came back to take that game in overtime, thanks in part to some really strange decisions by Texans interim coach Romeo Crennel, of course they were going to put the ball in Henry's hands in the red zone, of course.
Tannehill is wide to the left. Henry is in the gun.
Okay.
It's the King Cat. Henry running to the left, into the end zone. Touchdown, Titans! Yo! Titans win 42-36 as Arthur Smith comes with the King Cat for the final 5 yards and the victory. And the Texan stunned. It's not the Wildcat, because that, ladies and gentlemen, is the King.
Right. Like the Texans were going to stop that. He ran for 212 yards yesterday. 212. And then another 52 receiving. Take that for data. and save your bullcrap about how all running backs are overvalued now in this league. Not all of them. And definitely not this one. What a nightmare for Houston. A nightmare. And speaking of nightmares, Kirk Cousins had a waking nightmare against Atlanta. As great as Henry was, Cousins was that bad. Here's his stat line. 343 yards, 3 touchdowns, 3 picks. It sounds like it's not great, but it's not that bad, right? Wrong. It was terrible. He threw all 3 picks in the first half. All 3 touchdowns came in garbage time. That's because garbage time started right after halftime. Oh, and because it all happened against a previously winless Falcons team. A winless Falcons team that just broke off its head coach and its GM. And this is how bad the Vikings are. This is how bad the Vikes are right now. They got hammered by a winless team that just fired its coach and its GM. And as for Cousins, it's not often that you have a game where you throw for 3 touchdowns and people are saying you should have been benched. This guy throws for 3 touchdowns. People are calling for his benching, and even he himself does not necessarily disagree.
The reality is, if the pace, you know, that I'm on in terms of the interceptions, if that were to continue, I won't finish the season. I won't, you know what I mean? So there's a little bit of, you got to improve, whether it's them telling me, hey, you got to improve, or them pulling me, you got to get better.
I mean, it's pretty honest, right? And when was the last time you heard a quarterback say, hey, if I don't get better, they're going to take me out? If I keep throwing these interceptions, they're going to take me out. But then again, it's not like he's saying anything that we don't already know. That's a team, the Vikes, that was not only supposed to make the postseason, but make some noise once they got there, do some damage once they got there. And they're garbage. Straight garbage.
Garbage.
And that's not like some lava mouth cracking open a mic and talking junk. You get hammered by a previously winless team that just did fire its coach and its GM, and you fall to 1-5, you are garbage.
Garbage.
Period. Garbage.
Garbage.
Like, Adam, what would you call a team that dropped to 1-5 that just lost to a winless team?
Garbage.
And that game was over at halftime.
Garbage.
Right. But you know me. I'm about keeping it real, but mostly I'm about keeping it positive and finding the silver lining in pretty much anything. So know this. With that in mind, the Vikings are garbage.
Garbage.
However, they're not in the same class of garbage as the New York Jets.
Garbage.
And saying that they are is not only inaccurate, it's pretty much a reason to go. Right? Somebody spits in your face, you go. Somebody insults your lady, you go. Somebody threatens your family, you go. Somebody says something derogatory about your race or your religion, you go. Somebody says the Vikings, or anybody else for that matter, are as crappy as the Jets, you go. These are all universal reasons to go. Miami just humiliated the Jets 24-0. And it could have been so much worse. It could have been so much more embarrassing. They took their foot off the gas. They showed mercy. They showed empathy. Joe Flacco started for the Jets. Remember all that is Joe Flacco elite nonsense? Only a few years back. I'm here to say he actually is. He is elite. He's in a special group. He's a perfect fit for the Jets. He led the offense to 13 first downs, but 10 punts. Man, that's a ratio right there. Nearly as many punts as first downs for an NFL team. And it led to this legendary moment in the fourth quarter.
Third down and 4. Here comes Eric Rowe chasing Flacco. Flacco now looking at Ogba, and he drags him down. A monster loss. Second sack today for Ogba.
That is laugh out loud funny. I mean, that really is funny. Have you ever seen a 28-yard sack before? And it looked like a 40-yard sack. Have you ever seen a 28-yard sack in an NFL game? Amazing. Only one team could pull that off. And it's not just that the Jets were shut out, or that their quarterback was taking a 28-yard sack, or that they were shut out and nobody else has been this year, or that they were shut out when teams were putting up points at a record clip, or that they were shut out, or they had a 28-point sack. Only the Jets could elevate that to a whole new level by having their coaches argue with each other in the media. And that happened on Friday. Triple G, Greg Williams, was talking about the fact that the Jets were allowing 32 points per game. And if you know anything about Triple G, you know there's no way he was going to wear that number. No way he was going to wear a number like that. No way is that on Triple G. He said, quote, "It's not a very good number, and a lot of it's not all defensively," end of quote. And of course, when asked to elaborate on that, Triple G responded with, quote, "You'd have to figure it out," end quote. Hell yes. He just went after the offense. The guy who's looking to affect the head. Just affected the head coach.
Kill the head, the body will die.
And the head coach is old Crazy Eyes. And old Crazy Eyes was pissed off. He and Triple G apparently had a meeting. And then, in the meeting with the CBS broadcast crew, Crazy Eyes reportedly said, quote, "That's not what we need. No one is pointing fingers. We all need to pull in the same direction. Everyone needs to shut up and play," end quote. Actually, Crazy Eyes, people are pointing fingers. That's the D coordinator, Triple G, pointing it at you. And he didn't even try to hide it. He and everybody else there is covering their own ass now. And then Crazy Eyes was still bent about it after yesterday's game. They get shut out. They're still winless. They're far and away the worst team in the NFL. And he's still bent that Triple G was divisive and pointing the finger at the offense.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't happy about it, but, I mean, we talked about it, and, you know, he knew that it just, you know, right now I feel like our players are doing such a good job as far as trying to get things righted, and, you know, it's just everything we say is, it matters, you know, and he understood that we gotta set the right example.
Yeah, hold up there for a minute, G-Man. You just lost 24-0. You're 0-6. And you're saying that the players are doing, quote, such a good job as far as trying to get things righted? The hell are you talking about? Who the hell are you kidding with that? Never forget, the Jets fired Todd Bowles so they could hire Crazy Eyes. Never forget that. Then again, that wasn't even the worst postgame presser of the entire weekend. And I've got more on the Jets. If I have time, I'll get to it. I'm not done with them yet. But I want to talk more about the post-game presser of the weekend. That wasn't even it. No, that honor goes to Bill Belichick. The hoodie watched Denver Bronco Brandon McManus single-handedly, or should I say single-footedly, destroy the Pats with 6 field goals in an 18-12 win in Foxborough. That was a really ugly performance by the Pats all the way around. And after the game, Belichick was asked if the lack of practices recently played any role in that defeat.
How much did the limited amount of fully padded practice time you've had in recent weeks do you feel had on today's game?
Yeah, I don't know. But you want a percentage? I have no idea.
So, like, if you heard that, and your reaction to hearing that was to laugh or to say something like, "Oh, classic Bill." If that's your reaction, you're part of the problem. Because there's nothing cute or funny about that, man. That act is so tired. It is so tired. And don't come in here and say that, yeah, well, you never say anything positive about them. That's not true either. I said lots of positive things about them when they signed Cam and when Cam got off that great start. But that whole act, that Belichick act, where he just grunts and grumbles and says things like, "You want me to put a little percentage on that?
You want a percentage?
You want a percentage?
You want a percentage?"
Hey, Bill, you just got your heads handed to you by a team that came in with 1 win. You just lost at home to a team that threw 3 interceptions. Maybe you should answer the questions. This is the guy who is all about do your job. Yeah, well, the reporters are there to ask questions. You are there to answer questions. They did their job. Now do yours, Bill. Do your job. Answer the question. Meantime, it feels like it was only about a week ago that people were saying that Phillip Rivers was a shot fighter, that he was old, that he was washed. I mean, it really is now the favorite shout of any sports fan. Just call somebody old and shot and washed. And Rivers was getting a ton of that last week. And it was happening once again yesterday when the Colts fell behind the Bengals 21-0. Then Rivers threw a couple of touchdown passes in the second quarter, and the Colts were within three at the end of the half. Then the Colts took a 28-27 lead in the second half. And then Phillip did this early in the fourth.
Second down. Rivers off play action. That one's going to be intercepted. Picked off by Jesse Bates. Bates up and on the move. Jesse Bates across the 45 and down near midfield.
And then immediately the Twitter mob erupted again. There he goes again. Bring in Jacoby Brissett. If it's the fourth quarter of a close game, it must mean that Rivers is going to throw a pick. Where's Jacoby? Except after Cincinnati missed a field goal, Rivers led the Colts on a 10-play drive. It resulted in a field goal, it extended Indy's lead, and then the Colts defense closed it out with a pick.
Told ya!
He's been through it before. He's been there before. The old vet was not about to panic.
There really was no panic. You know, again, I'm new to these experiences with this football team, the culture and everything set and what we expected. So I wasn't feeling any panic from anyone.
He's been there before. Maybe not with these guys, but he's been there before. So from down 21-0 to win 31-27. Yeah, maybe Rivers is not perfect, but this guy's not a shot fighter. He's not washed. He's got something left. Maybe one game is not enough to go on for your snap reactions and your piping hot lava takes. But he brought them back. They got that win. And yes, I know what your snap reactions are when it relates to Cleveland and Pittsburgh. Yes, the Steelers beat the Browns down like they always do, and especially in Pittsburgh. Yes, it was a massive performance by the Steelers in every facet of the game. Yes, Baker Mayfield was running for his life. Yes, the Browns never got that great running game untracked. And yes, Mike Tomlin had every right to say, quote, "That was varsity ball today. They stepped up and stepped up big all across the board." That's fair. That's accurate. And it's a perfect description. That was varsity ball. And a banged up Browns team did not play varsity ball yesterday. They know that. But I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. It's not about winning in October. You want to beat the Steelers in October, or you want to beat them in January? That's what I thought. Bad day for the Browns. Great day for the Steelers. I'm not jumping off that bandwagon. I'm still riding with the Browns. But a really impressive game by the Steelers. And a really impressive game by the Tampa Bay Bucks, especially their defense. And I will get to that also. Don't go anywhere. Phone lines are open. How about that? Finally, my NFL recap. Better late than never. That's how big that Dodger win was. Man, October baseball is amazing, right? Even without the fans, the drama, man, the intensity, the pressure, it's still there. Get in on all the football action with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. To add to this week's excitement, DraftKings has a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes that are up for grabs. You draft your lineup, you feel the sweat like never before. Every run, every pass, every catch means even more with DraftKings. It's really simple. You pick your lineup, you stay under the salary cap, and then you see how your team stacks up against the competition. Nothing adds to the excitement of watching the game quite like having a shot at millions of bucks in prizes. And for everybody who's looking forward to this weekend's UFC 254 matchup, be sure to check out DraftKings MMA contests. Download the DraftKings app. Use the code ROME for a limited time now. New users can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. Use the code ROME to get a free shot at millions of bucks. With that first deposit, it's only at DraftKings. Make it rain. A minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com for details. DraftKings.com. Use the code name ROME, R-O-M-E.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
When you talk to a Dell Technologies advisor, they are focused on you, and they are ready to offer tailored solutions powered by Intel vPro platform to keep your small business ready for what's next. Call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. Daniel tweets, Romy, can you please keep talking baseball? Signed, Baker Mayfield. All right, I'm not looking to make any excuses. You know, when somebody says, I'm not looking to make an excuse, they're about to make an excuse. I'm not looking to make any excuses. He was questionable all week long. We know he had that rib injury that he suffered the week earlier. Didn't have a lot of practice time. So I just say that as a fact. But not an excuse. Like, even if he were 100%, I'm not sure he would have fared much better because he was under pressure all day long. Steeler defense was coming for Baker Mayfield. So when you've got the Browns and they're unable to establish that vaunted rushing attack, and they couldn't get anything going on the ground, and then you've got the defense just teeing off on Baker, and Baker's not right physically, but Baker's running for his life, they probably didn't stand a chance anyway. That was a really impressive performance by the Steelers, top to bottom in every phase of the game. What I'm saying to you is, at 4-1, the Browns, you want to think going into a game like that, it's going to be different. Like, since they returned to the NFL in 1999, they have not won in Pittsburgh. It's been that one-sided. So it felt like this was the year that everything was going to be different, everything was going to change. It might still. To me, they're still a dangerous team. They're still America's team. But they got their asses kicked yesterday. And Pittsburgh looked great doing it. That was the varsity. That's Tomlin's best line since he promised straight fire on Twitter and then did not deliver. But that was the varsity yesterday for sure. D-Rod in
percentage.
Yeah, I didn't say that. I just said answer the question. The thing about Belichick, too, is like guys who play for him will say, man, you have no idea. This guy, this is not what this guy's like. And I believe that. I don't think that's what he's like. But he is like that in every single press conference. So if you're going to allow 6 field goals to a team that had 3 interceptions, that came into your house and beat you, and you're insistent that everybody do their job, that's your number one criteria. When people walk in the building, do your job. Don't be a hypocrite. Do yours, coach. Answer a question. Jeremy in Green Bay at Yellow Weasel tweets, was that Reggie in the OC calling last hour with a Brett in SLO alias?
First off, Kyle preps Cal's beer for him. Like you do for your wife or your girlfriend, you know. it's actually very sweet of it. Rome, honestly.
No, Reggie, honestly. Like Reggie, honestly. I don't ever remember anybody hyperventilating like that during a call. Between the throat clears and your trachea closing up, are you trying to get air in there?
It's actually very sweet of it.
Hey, Reggie, why didn't somebody next to you put the mask that fell out of the ceiling on your face first? Hey, Brad, you got to hook that guy up. Actually, what the flight attendant would say to Brad is, apply the mask to yourself first, and then apply it to the adult next to you right after. I don't know, boy. Anyway, so that's what Jeremy in Green Bay is talking about. Was that Reggie in the OC calling last hour with a Brett in SLO alias? I love that double clutch, that back-to-back voice clear. Have you, in 30 years of listening to me, ever heard me do that? Have you ever heard me once go, That is strong. I mean, I can understand where it might be nerve-wracking, where all of a sudden you're on the air and it hits you. All right, I'm 40,000 feet up talking to 40 million people.
You know, it was actually...
That's vigorous. That is an aggressive throw clear. Really aggressive. I mean, what's stuck in your throat, brah? No, that's not Alvin in any way manipulating the sound. That's how aggressive a throat clear that was. I mean, even me emulating it is taking years off my life. Even back in the day when I would do the butter knife impersonations, I didn't hit that as hard as you just did.
You know, it was actually...
I mean, dang. In a word.
You know, it was actually...
We're just talking sports, man. It's easy. Just talking to your guy. It's just you and I, right? Isn't that how radio is? You're not talking to 8 billion people. You're just talking to me. When we return, I've got the ATP coming up at Hitman Canadians. And hey, Reggie, stay in your larynx lane. Signed, Raider Mike.
And you know,
all right, so that's a little bit different. That's like more of a guttural roar. That's more,
and you know,
that's more of like a seal bump.
And you know,
that's incredible.
And you know,
you know what?
And you know,
it was actually,
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 I think you all need a cough button on your iPhone, whichever version you have. Wouldn't that be great for the clones if they had a cough button on their iPhone or their Android phone?
It was actually.
But then again, we wouldn't have that. All right. Well, with all of that said, I've got the ATP coming up. I've got open phones coming up. I've got criminals going back to the scene of the crime coming up. I've got a huge call coming up. Probably somebody will do this in the next segment.
It was actually.
And I've got a sports update for you right now. Here it is. All right, welcome back. It is time to answer the Ask the Pros question. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. For all of your car care needs, get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Hi, Jim. Other than the cigar aficionado cover, have you ever been on the cover of a magazine? Signed, Bella B. All right, so Bella, I was not on the cover of Cigar Aficionado. I was on the inside. There was a really nice feature piece and there was some nice artwork, but I was not on the cover. I have, if memory serves, been on the cover of Time Magazine. Or was it Newsweek? Or was it both? I think it might have been both. I think it was on the cover of GQ, too. I think it was also on the cover of National Geographic. I think I was on the cover of Life Magazine back in the day. I think I was on the cover of SI, for sure. For sure. In the faces. Nah. Yeah, I don't think. LA Reader Magazine. What else? Definitely Time Magazine. Remember when I was Man of the Year, Bella? How can you forget that? What's not the Man of the Year? Was it 85 or 86? Bella B with the ATP. Hawk, I love the way that I'm hammering the email address and we have no email. You might want to alert me to that fact. Got some more reaction for you really quickly. Hey, Jim, there is garbage. Like when people in really nice neighborhoods throw out 65-inch TVs to make room for their 80-inch screens, like the Chicago Bears. Then there is garbage, like the kind of garbage that Lenny Dykstra has to sift through to find his dentures. That garbage is the New York Jets. Wore the good old days of the butt fumble.
Happy Sunday. Happy.
Jake in the NYC. The thing about that is there was a butt play, a butt pick. And that was the highlight of the day. All right, so quickly, let's talk about Green Bay and Tampa Bay. Now, I did go on the NFL today, yesterday, before the games. I called my shot. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers were going to take care of their business against Tom Brady and the Bucks. I felt very good about that statement. I mean, no reason not to, right? The Packers were undefeated. Aaron was playing some of the best ball of his career. The Bucks were still figuring themselves out. They were not a disciplined team. They led the NFL in penalties. Then the game starts. I felt even better. The Packers get on the board with a field goal. That was in their very first possession. Then they force a three and out. Nice start. And that nice start got even better when Aaron Rodgers led the offense on an 11-play, 80-yard drive that he capped off himself.
Rodgers to his right. Going to try and take it. And he is in for the touchdown. And a flag comes in at the end.
Now, I can't imagine if that's going to be. I don't know what move that is.
All right, so life was good. I was smart. The Packers were up 10-0. And Aaron went with the Hingle McCringleberry TD celebration. Except that touchdown was reversed, which in hindsight might have been a bad omen, even though Aaron Jones did score one play later. Then the Packers force a punt on Tampa Bay's next possession. So with the Packers up double digits and everything rolling, I turned off the TV and I went about the rest of my day. I mean, I assumed since the Packers were up 10-0 at the end of the first quarter, they were going to win 40-0, right? I did the math. Not only did they not win 40-0, but I did not turn off my TV, of course. In fact, I was glued to the couch watching what happened next because it all fell apart for Green Bay. And when it did fall apart, it fell apart quickly, starting with this surprising play.
Rodgers takes the snap, 3rd and 10, drops, pressure coming against the pass. It's intercepted, picked off down the sideline, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown Tampa Bay! Jamal touchdown Dean. Buccaneers, Jamal Dean! First turnover of the season by the Pack, and it's a pick six.
See, I would say fine, that'll happen, but that doesn't happen. That doesn't happen to Aaron Rodgers. He had no turnovers on the year, and he never gets pick sixed. So that's rare. So I want to say that'll happen, but it doesn't. Not to him. But still, 10-7 Green Bay. 10-7 Packers. Except 2 plays later, this happened.
With few exceptions, the Packers have taken the play clock down to about 1. Here's one broken up, another pick. Deflected and back is Mike Edwards just into the ball game, and he is down at the 2.
Aaron Rodgers cannot believe this.
No, of course not. He had no picks on the year, and then 2 in a row. And then 1 play after that, this happened.
Here is Brady taking the snap, feeding the ball to Rodgers, running left. Touchdown, Tampa Bay! Nobody put a hand on him. He hurdles into the end zone. Fire the cannons!
And just like that, it's 14-10, Tampa Bay. That flipped in a hurry. Then the avalanche started. The Packers' offense went from doing pretty much whatever they wanted to pretty much nothing at all. The Bucs defense was everywhere. As I mentioned, it felt like there were 11 dudes out there flying around named Lavonte David. They were swarming everybody and everything. You almost never see a game flip that dramatically and that quickly, especially against a legitimate Super Bowl contender. I mean, that was insane. That was like San Francisco, KC in the Super Bowl in terms of how quickly that changed. Within minutes, it was 21-10. And then this play made it 28-10.
But here's the snap on 3rd and 6. Lob pass toward the end zone. Gronkowski, he makes the catch. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. What a great grab by Gronk. Holy guacamole. The Bucs score a touchdown with 1:02 to go.
Holy guacamole.
Holy guacamole.
Tampa Bay Gronkaneers does not want any of that. Anyway, that touchdown, though, was big. Before the half, that was big for a number of reasons. Number one, because, well, it pretty much ended the entire game before the first half ended. And number two, it was big because that was Brady's first touchdown to Gronkamole. Well, with Gronkamole being a Tampa Bay Gronkaneer. Part of a game where the two of them did hook up 5 times for 78 yards, and they were on the same page. I mean, that's a pretty scary prospect for anybody facing these guys. The only thing missing was that solid spike from Gronkamole. I mean, yeah, it was a spike, but not that good of a spike. Gronk had this to say for himself after the game.
Yes, the spike was not monstrous. It was a lefty. The right arm's a little sore right now, so I had to do a lefty spike. But just overall, I'm just glad I got a spike.
So what you're telling me is you're not Gronkodexterous. Hey-o.
Holy Gronkamoly!
Went with his offhand. Anyway, the whole team got a spike from that because that was Gronkamoly's best game as a Tampa Bay Gronkaneer. And if they can keep that up, if that is sustainable, this team goes to another level. And not just because of the offense. The defense was unreal. They were in Aaron Rodgers' face almost every single time he went back. They dominated that game. The Packers had no answer. It's week six, and the Gronkaneers are 4-2. So everybody who was freaking out after they started 0-1 can chill. They're right where they should be right now. And if Gronk can show up like that on a weekly basis, man, they're going to take off. In fact, they're arguably the best team in the NFC right now. Arguably. Because while Rodgers was wearing a buck or two on his face nearly every single time he dropped back, Tampa Bay did keep Brady clean. Bucks offense was good. Brady looked sharp enough. He was efficient. It's not like he lit it up. He only threw for 166 yards, but he only threw for 166 because that's all they needed him to throw for. And thanks to Tampa Bay's defense and Tampa Bay's ability to run the ball, that's exactly what they needed from Brady. A game like that. They didn't need him to throw for 400 yards. They didn't need him to extend the field or throw deep. His numbers might not win you a fantasy game, but they're going to win you real games. He'll run the show. He'll manage everything around him. He'll show guys how to handle their business on a big stage. That was easily Tampa Bay's best game of the season. And not just because of their defense and the offense, but because all of a sudden they played smart football, disciplined football. They weren't committing the stupid penalties that they had been. Now, from Green Bay's standpoint, don't overreact. It's one game. It's a bad game, but it's one game. But it does not mean they're trash. It doesn't mean that Aaron Rodgers is washed. It doesn't mean that he also is a shot fighter. It's one game. They've got things to work on, but so does every other team. Yesterday, they ran into a buzzsaw. They ran into a team that flipped the game with one single play, and then they piled on. It was really impressive by the Bucks. They went from a Green Bay route to a Tampa Bay route, and they did so in about a second flat. It was a really impressive effort. And as a reminder, once again, when you're watching Tampa Bay, don't focus only on Brady and Gronk and BA. Check out that Tampa Bay defense. Better yet, check out their D coordinator. Check out the guy who's dialing it all up. Check out the guy who's calling the shots. And remember who that is. Todd Bowles. And then remember this. The New York Jets fired Tom Bowles. Todd Bowles, I should say. And remember, they fired him in order to hire Adam Gase. Never forget that. And again, remember, it's only one game. Green Bay got an ass kicking and a wake-up call, but they will figure in this thing at the end of the season. And so will Tampa Bay. And I'm guessing that might not be the last time we see the two of them.
Fire the cannons!
Holy Gronkamoly, Batman.
Holy Gronkamoly!
Let's see, we're on the same page, though. They're making plays. You know they can run it. And you know when Brady's got a full collection of healthy weapons, he'll take advantage of them. And you know defensively they're going to make a lot of trouble for teams. So if Brady and Gronk are on the same page, look out. They might be the best team in the NFC right now.
Yes!
They're right where they should be after six games. Dude, that left-handed
yes!
spike.
Yes. So
that was kind of weak, big fella.
Holy Gronkamoly!
Getting ready for the huge call. Before I do so, this guy is looking to get himself back on track. And by get himself back on track, he says he can get himself back on track in Rack City. One way to find out. Let's go to Houston. Now, it is late in the program. Keep that in mind. He's been on hold for a long time. Keep that in mind. Let's find out. Is this the call that puts him back on track in, quote, Rack City? Jerome in Houston. Hey, Jerome, how are you?
I'm doing well, Vince Mack. Thanks for the vines. Good to be back in the jungle. Love the show. I got to give props to the Dodgers and the Rays. Oh, my God. Watching the Dodgers, and when I watched what the Atlanta Braves were doing to them early in the series, I thought, there's no way anyone could beat this team. I mean, they're flying around, young team, full of energy, just, I mean, yakking it up. Jacking it out, pitching and everything. And I tell you, I thought the Dodgers had no chance. But I got to tell you, they grinded it out and somehow came out with the win in that series. I tell you what, that is total brass stones right there. Tampa Bay Rays, oh, when they were up 3-0 and the Astros came back with three straight, I thought there's no way that this veteran team, the Astros, are going to let Tampa Bay off the hook. Tampa Bay's a young team. They hadn't been there. I'm thinking, oh, man, they're gripping. Astros are loose. But then they had Charlie Morton. That guy is a stone-cold assassin. And
you, my man, sounded pretty sober. That sounds like a guy just trying to keep it in the fairway. Where's Slarome? Come on, man. Pull out your driver. Pull out the big dog, dude.
Boob.
Put that four iron back in the bag where it belongs. Grainger, helping your business move forward with supplies and solutions for every industry. Free access to product specialists, safety recovery guides, 24/7 support, and more. Call, click Grainger.com or just stop by. My man's rattled. Playing it straight, playing it safe. Right down the middle of the fairway. Come on, Slarome, where are you, bro?
Boob.
Not even a boob reference. I gotta get out.